Some of you looking up to preacher, you say, what's the preacher doing? I mean, my goodness, it's probably 80 degrees out there, 80 plus degrees outside. Why in the world? And I'm not, isn't it good to have good cool air conditioning tonight? And I know, we got thermostats all over the place. We got different human personal thermostats. Some are cold, some are hot. Doesn't matter where you put it. Some are going to be hot, some are going to be cold. I get it. But thank the Lord that at least from what we understand, one of the units just needed some Freon. And they're keeping up pretty well now. It's down to where it's supposed to be, so that's a good thing, right? But I'm not trying to demonstrate how cool it is in here, but I am trying to demonstrate a point, okay? Now, I want you to watch very closely. Is everybody paying real close attention? Okay, everybody awake, alert, and enthusiastic. Okay, all right. Everybody paying attention? Okay, are you ready? Okay, here we go. Okay, now, who would like to tell me what just happened? Okay, all right, what was it? You sure? Yeah, okay. All right, all I did was simply take my jacket off, right? I just put off my jacket, and it's much more comfortable without that jacket, by the way, but I just put off the jacket. Can I tell you that we as Christians need to put off the old man? We need to, just almost literally like that. You see, when we wake up in the morning, we choose what we're going to put on. We choose what we're going to take off and what we're going to wear during the day. And in a sense, that's the way we are. Every single day, we ought to wake up and say, you know what? I'm taking off. I'm putting off the old man, setting it aside. Because that's what God wants me to be. Okay? Colossians chapter 3. We're continuing in our series looking at Colossians chapter 3. At one point, this was going to be a single message, and God slowed me down and said, no. Now, I want you to park here a little bit and talk about the things in Colossians chapter 3. And we have done that already. We've already had two parts. This is part 3. Now, tonight, in case you're wondering what the preacher's going to preach on, did you hear the story about the little boy that went to church? His mom and dad wasn't feeling too well, so they sent him on to church, and he came on to church. And they were concerned about little Junior and how much he was going to pay attention. So when little Junior came home, remember, the parents weren't feeling too good, but the little Junior walked home, and they were concerned about whether he really paid attention. And they said, little Junior, what did the preacher preach on? He said, well, he preached on sin. They're like, oh, sure, that's a pat answer, sure. He said, the parent said to little Junior, well, what did he say about sin? He said, he's against it. So, in case you're wondering what the message is about, it really is on sin, and I'm against it, okay? And more importantly, God is against it, okay? So if anyone asks you what the preacher preached on, he preached on sin, and he's against it, okay? All right, Colossians chapter 3. It says in verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, Colossians is written to who? To the Colossian church, right? So to Christians, just like Oak Mound today, it would be like the Colossian church back then, okay? The local church. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which where? Are above, right? Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Thankfully, when Christ resurrected, he went to the right hand of God. Jesus is alive. He conquered death. Verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now that was part one of the sermon series. If you remember, the idea of the message was we are citizens of heaven. Okay, we're citizens of heaven. This is not our home. Too many Christians are living this world like this is my eternal home. It's not our eternal home. It's going to be completely gone. Right? And if it still stands, I'm going to be gone anyway. And then eventually it will all be gone, right? So our citizenship is in heaven. if we know Jesus as our Savior. And as such, part one, the title of the message, we are citizens of heaven, so act like it and think like it, and we'll soon be home. We'll soon be home. That's what it says, isn't it? Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. You're dead. In other words, your human nature is supposed to be dead, and you're dead to sin. You're dead to what you want. It's supposed to be all about the Lord and what He wants. And then verse 4, it says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you appear with Him in glory. So we'll soon be with Him. Any which way you look at it, any which way you slice it. Y'all, you ever use that expression? Any which way you slice it, we're going to be with Jesus really soon. How many of you think time goes by faster the older you get? Raise your hand up real high. Okay, I believe it's almost unanimous. Time seems to go by faster the older you get. I can't hardly keep up. It seems like to me, I seem like at any given point in time, I'm about a year, 18 months behind where I think it is. And it's like boom, boom, boom. And when I try to think back about when something happened, I normally do almost a two-time fudge factor in there. Because I think it seems like that probably happened about a year ago. So it probably happened 2 years ago. Do you do that? So time is rapidly passing. We're citizens of heaven, so we need to act like it, we need to think like it, and we'll soon be with Jesus. Part two was found in verses 5, 6, and 7. Mortify, therefore, means put to death. We don't use that word a whole lot, I don't believe. Mortify, therefore, based upon our citizenship being in heaven, based upon being dead in Christ and living with Him, we're supposed to put to death these members which are upon the earth. It's talking about our bodies and the members of our body and the way we use it in the wrong way. It says fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection. That's affection, strong desire for something we ought not have. Evil concupiscence. That's kind of the same thing, evil desires that we might have. And covetousness. Now we know what that is, right? And it calls covetousness idolatry. Wow. We got a whole lot of idolaters in our world today, don't you think? Because they always want more and bigger and better and more than the Joneses and on and on and on. It says, the Bible calls it idolatry. It says, for which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. If you remember from last week, I believe this is talking about the children of disobedience are lost people. We're not children of disobedience. We're children of the Heavenly Father, right? So, but because of sins like this, the wrath of God is going to come upon the lost. Now, that can happen now, or that can happen in the future, in particular during the tribulation period, and ultimately in eternal punishment from God. So it kind of gives you an idea because of these things, these sins, that God doesn't want to see them in our life. It says put it to death, right? It says, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. Sometime when ye lived in them. Past tense. You see, the title of last week's was What I Used to Be. What I Used to Be. Part two was What I Used to Be. Tonight, put off the old man. Put off the old man. We'll be looking at just two or three verses here tonight, verses 8 and 9 in particular. We're going to be looking at those verses and talking about them. So follow along. It says, but now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Title tonight, Put Off the Old Man. Now, you know we're not one of those moving and shaking modern liberal churches because, guess what? We are talking about sin. You know why? Because we're still sinners. And I'm thankful that we are sinners saved by grace. You go to some of these churches and they don't talk about sin because they don't want anybody to feel uncomfortable. I don't know about you, but in my Christian life, sometimes under the preaching and teaching of God's Word, I want to be uncomfortable. I want to say, whoa, it's me. The Word of God says this, and I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, or I'm doing something I shouldn't be doing, and therefore I want to straighten up and fly right. You see, there's a whole difference of philosophy in some of these preachers and some of these churches' ideas in their minds. It's like it's to make everybody feel good. Now, it's true, when I come to church, I feel good just by coming and serving the Lord. How about you? And there's a lot of things that are encouraging. It's okay. Smile. It's okay. God's got this. And Sunday night, what was it? You know, if nobody else cares, who really cares? Jesus does. And we ought to just leave with a heart full of warmth and encouragement and strength because of God being so good, absolutely. But every once in a while, God gets in our face, so to speak, in His Word, sometimes through the Sunday school teacher, sometimes through the preacher, sometimes just through the Word of God when you read it. God gets in our face and says, listen, you're still a sinner, and you need to snuggle up a little close. You need to do better. You need to ask forgiveness. You need to start doing this. You need to stop doing this. If I went to a church and I never felt that, I'd find a new church. I'm serious. The modern movement is not that way. It's to make us feel good. We don't come to church to feel good. Sometimes we feel good, absolutely, but sometimes we're challenged and encouraged in our walk with God. If y'all believe that, say amen, and I mean a hearty one, not a Wednesday night. Okay, all right, just want to make sure you're still there. Put off the old man. First of all, we should act now. We should act now. Look what it says. It says in verse 8, but now ye also put off all these. Now! Do you realize there's no time like the present? Humans seem to be experts at putting stuff off. Now, Paul, as he's writing to this church, he said, but now, you're saved, now. But you know what a lot of us do, I don't think it's a stretch to apply it in this way. What a lot of us do, preacher, you got to understand, life's really busy now. And I know what I should be doing, and I know what I shouldn't be doing. But life is just so crazy busy. I'll do it sometime later. Humans are experts at putting stuff off. I think Christians are probably even better at putting stuff off that they ought to be doing for the Lord. Or things that they ought not be doing because they belong to the Lord. They just put it off and put it off and put it off and put it off. And before you know it, we're going to be standing before the Lord. Some people might say, next week I'll get serious about the Lord. Next week. Next month, I'll get serious about the Lord. Next year, I'll get serious about the Lord. When things slow down a bit, I'll get serious about the Lord. When this project is finished, I'll get serious about the Lord. When this phase of life is over, I'll get serious about the Lord. Can I tell you that right now is the time? You know, we should act now. We should act now. Now's the time to put the pedal to the metal. You know what that means, right? If you don't, some of you do it anyway, whether you understand what I'm saying or not. You put the pedal to the metal. Now's the time to put the pedal to the metal. Now's the time to get serious. Now is the time to get serious. I mean, how many times do we put stuff off? You know, we got good intentions sometimes. I mean, really, we do. And we put it off, and we put it off, and we put it off, and before long, it's too late. Right? Same thing in the spiritual life. If we're not careful, we'll put it off until it's way too late. Proverbs 27 and verse 1. Listen to this verse. Proverbs 27. Remember we had the Proverbs challenge? You read this verse. If you took the Proverbs challenge, and I'm proud of you for taking the Proverbs challenge. Quite a few of you did that. Praise the Lord. God bless you. That was great. It says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You know, when I've learned that when I tell somebody I'm going to do something, I honestly say, good Lord willing. Good Lord willing. Sometimes I say, good Lord willing, the creek don't rise, good Lord. And really, the Bible talks about that. You know, saying, if the Lord will, we'll do this the next day. The same idea is in this verse. We don't know what a day will hold. So when we say, okay, I really have good intentions of straightening up and flying right. I really have good intentions of getting that sin out of my life. I really have good intentions of reading my Bible. I really have good... Be careful. Today's the only day. Right now is all we can control, right? Because the next thing that may happen on your calendar of life is death. Or the voice of the archangel, the sound of the trumpet, the voice of the archangel, the shout, we're out of here. the trumpet I hear? Ron, is that your stomach ground or was that the trumpet? All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2 says, listen to this. This is for anyone who may be listening in or here tonight and not be saved. You know, now is also the time to be saved. Don't put it off. I'm totally convinced that hell is full of people that said, someday, later, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted. Did you catch that? Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Not only is now the time to put off the old man, now is the time to nail down your salvation. If you're not sure, nail it down. If you know for sure you're not saved, now's the time to nail it down because you have no promise of tomorrow. I don't know, is it me or are drivers getting crazier and crazier?
Crazier.
There for a while coming out Route 23, it seemed like everybody was left of center. And if you know Route 23, you can't go left of center in a whole lot of places. I mean, we're talking about around curves, left of center, in areas where you can't see in front of you, left of center. We was doing this all the time. It seemed like jerking off the road or getting close to it. Let me tell you, I'm not a drama king. I'm really not. You know, I don't play on your emotions. You know, I don't play this really sad story and everybody goes, ah. I'm just telling you, if you're lost, you could leave this world on the way home. Or if you're listening in, this could be your last evening sunset. That's true. You take your life in your own hands every time you get on that scooter going down that hill. I don't know why in the world they can't build y'all a sidewalk. But anyway, you're right. But even as a Christian, you know, now's the time. Have you seen that life insurance commercial? I'm not going to tell you who it is, but it's a life insurance, a $9.95 plan and all that. And then they have some people getting up there and said, well, you know, I should have done this, but, you know, my loved one's now passed. I should have done that. No one says, well, I could have if I'd only taken the time. And another one gets up and says something like, you know, I would have done it, but this came up, but my loved one's dead now, and there's no way I can pay. You know, the spokesman gets up and says, you know, something like, shoulda, coulda, woulda, but it's too late. You know, if they can say that about life insurance, I think we could say it about our Christian life with the Lord. You know, I'd hate for us, and I'm not preaching perfection because we're not perfect, but I'd hate for me to live a life such as that I'm putting everything off. I'm putting everything off and serving the Lord. I'm putting it off. You know, surely there'll be a perfect time. There's no such thing as a perfect time to serve the Lord. I mean, I'm almost scared to see warm weather come sometimes because we lose people. And I'm not talking about a normal vacation. I'm just talking about some people. It's like, okay, pleasure time. You know, let's just get out and do everything, get my boat out, and let's get this out, and let's do this out because it's warm weather. But then, you know, the weather gets nice and it's not a good time to come to church. Winter's not a good time to come to church because the Lord knows you can't get here because it's snowing. I mean, there's no such thing as a perfect time to come to church. But so many people are going to stand before the Lord and really in their mind they're going to think, woulda, coulda, shoulda. Now. We should act now. Put off the old man and do what we're supposed to be doing. Is there an amen out there?
Amen.
This is my amen ear tonight, okay? So when I do this, amen ear, okay? Over there. Okay, all right. Number two, we should put off or put away some stuff. Now, I'm going to point out the words put off or put away here. Look at verse 8. Now, it says in verse 5 that we're supposed to mortify or put these to death. But I want you to pay attention to verses 8 and 9. It says, but now ye also put off all these. Now, what does all mean? All means all, and that's all that it means, right? We're supposed to put these things off. Just like taking a jacket off, we're supposed to take these things off. It says it there, put off these things. And then verse 9, lie not to one another, seeing that you have, there it is again, put off the old man with his deeds. You see, see, we're supposed to put off all these things that are mentioned. We're supposed to put off the old man, just like a jacket, taking it off and throwing it aside. Kind of the idea, at least I think on the first one in particular, it's like kind of like taking off an old dirty garment. You know, you ever worked out maybe like in the garden or worked out in the hayfield or worked at your job and you just got dirty and you're just, you stink. Sort of like Lazarus almost, you stinketh. And you come, you got this old dirty something, and you can't wait, Candy, to get it off, get in the shower, and get cleaned up. You see, when you trust Jesus, ultimately you're supposed to take that old garment, the old man off, because you're not that old man anymore, right? Because the Bible tells us, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, right? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So we're, take it off, take off the old man. That's not who we are anymore. And we ought to be as excited about that as we are about getting a shower and getting old dirty clothes off, right? We should put off or put away some of this stuff. You know, then it goes right into it. Point three, we should put off these sins. So first of all, put off the old man. It's titled tonight. Point number one, we should act now. Do not put it off. If God's speaking to your heart tonight, don't put it off. Dangerous to put stuff off. Number two, we should put off or put away some stuff. It says all these. It says the deeds of the old man. And then it goes into it. Point number three, we should put off these sins. We should put off these sins. Now, there's no clear, to me, not 100% distinction between the types of sins in verse 5 and the types of sins that are mentioned in verse 8. But if you look at them real close, it almost seems like to me in verse 5, these are the ones that are more open. Again, that's not a 100% clear distinction. I will not tell you that there is. But it seems like these are the ones in verse 5 that we looked at last week that are kind of open to the world. And these are the ones that we'd expect the world to do. And if we as Christians did it, we'd be like, oh, I can't believe they did that. Now, that's not saying that Christians don't do the things mentioned in verse 5. But it seems like to me, verse 8 is more like the ones that Christian, the sins that we want to hold on to. And they're a little bit more private, it seems, than the sins of verse 5. And it says we need to put those off. We need to put the other ones to death, but we need to put these off and away from. You might call this, in my mind, this is almost like some Christian pet sins that we hold on to. And it's okay if we hold on to them, because I know a lot of Christians that hold on to them too. So we're okay, because I'm comparing myself to the other person, right? I'm as good as Jane over there. I'm as good as Fred over here, so I'm okay. So we kind of hold on to some of these things. But guess what? Can I tell you? It took me a while to get this in my brain. But a sin is a sin is a sin is a sin. I mean, there's not like, this is a big sin and a little sin. Really, there's not. The difference is in consequences. Do you understand? Like if I murder someone, the consequences are a lot greater, right, than me thinking a mean thought against Larry Sayer. Larry, I'm not thinking any mean thoughts about you, by the way, but in case I were thinking a mean thought about Larry Sayer, because there's not as many consequences. But can I tell you that me thinking a mean thought against Larry is just as black and dark and evil and as sinful as me killing someone with a gun? Now, I know some people have not been taught that. It's kind of a hard concept to get your brain wrapped around. But I'm talking about a holy, perfect God. And to a holy and perfect God, sin is sin. And when he looks down, he sees sin. He said, that's sin. Now, the consequences vary greatly, right? So, these are kind of the ones we kind of group some of these as kind of like, these aren't as bad as ones mentioned. You know, the immorality mentioned up there. And that inordinate affection and that evil desire and concupiscence and then uncleanness or impurity. These are like Christian pet sins. But can I tell you, these Christian pet sins that some of us hold on to, they can really, really hurt your Christian life. And again, I really believe that if any of us had an idea of how black sin is to God, If we could somehow figure out how black and how dark it was to God when I fail him, I would fail him less. Because we just kind of want to brush over it, right? Now let's look at these. Let's look at these sins that some Christians like to harbor. Y'all still with me? I think I offended half of you because you're kind of you don't look as joyful as you did earlier. Okay, look at this. It says in that verse, in verse 8. Now put ye also, but now ye also put off all these, and it mentions anger. Now, 36 times that's used in the New Testament. Now, in Vine's dictionary of Greek words, let me tell you what it says, and then I'll tell you kind of my thoughts. A more settled or abiding condition of mind is what's in mind here under anger. Did you catch that? A more settled or abiding condition of mind, frequently with a view to taking revenge. Less sudden in its rise than the wrath we're going to talk about right below, but more lasting in its nature, okay? So anger, it seems to me as I looked at these different Greek sources and everything, I'm not smart enough necessarily to figure it out, but looking at their input, it would appear to me that this anger is kind of that inner anger. You know, it's not like the wrath, which is the next one we're going to look at, but it's more like, Sister so-and-so said something about me about 5 years ago, and I'm still pretty ticked about it, and it just kind of stays in there, and it's the stuff that grudges are made of, and it's the stuff that bitterness is made of, and if we don't deal with it, it's kind of like, you know, a kettle or something that's on the stove. And it starts to whistle really loud. And if you let it go long enough, perhaps it might boil over. And it's kind of like that inner burning, if you will, that inner grudge, that inner bitterness, that you're just mad on the inside. Now, don't even try to tell me that this doesn't happen in churches, okay? I really do not know much of this in this church, maybe none of this really, to be honest with you. But I wouldn't doubt that someone who sits in this corner of the church right here, I don't know who sits in this chair, but they're not here tonight, so I can pick on them. Whoever says it, you know, might have had somebody say something to them or do something to them, or someone said something to their kids at Vacation Bible School 100 years ago, and they got a little bit of that. And whenever they hear the name of this person, let's call her Bernadine. We have any Bernadines here tonight? Okay. But whenever Bernadine says anything in church, or when they see Bernadine, it's not like they're going to react in a hateful way or come up and say mean things to them. But on the inside, it's kind of like, you know, just a little bit. Now think about that. How does that affect our walk with the Lord? I mean, what if the Lord was up there going, you know, I'm just burning with anger because Tim Rupert is such a mean, rotten rascal. And he's mean to eat that. I'm just picking on Tim. But, you know, what does he do? He says, it's all done, right? It's all forgotten. It's done away with, right? And in the fellowship area, when he says, Lord, forgive me, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all, as far as the relationship. Now, isn't that, we're supposed to forgive one another as God? But I'm telling you, some of us have anger in our hearts and lives. It can devastate a church. I mean, I think sometimes we don't get this. But when God wants to move among his people, and I'm sitting there, or this person's sitting there, yeah, those don't incriminate me. When this person is sitting here and mad at Bernadine, and can God work through our church if the fella sitting right here or the lady right here is mad at Bernadine? Not as well as he'd like to. No, God is a gracious God, right? And we're not going to reach perfection. But when I have known sin and I'm angry over something that someone did to me, and I'm telling you, It's kind of almost, Amy will vouch for this, it's almost sometimes you hear people talk, and again, I'm not really familiar with anybody in this church having a grudge against anybody, but we've been in places before, we didn't know it. It's like, oh, didn't you know that this one really isn't in? It's like, we didn't know that. But we got to deal with that. I mean, you've been forgiven an awful lot. I've been forgiven an awful lot. So we need to make sure that we get rid of that anger out of our inside. Now, the next one's wrath. The next one is wrath. Now, this is almost like a sudden outburst type of thing. It's used 18 times in the New Testament. Vine says of it, it's more agitated feelings, an outburst of wrath from inward indignation. Now, really what might happen, wrath might result from anger too. You know, you've let it kind of boil and get hot and kind of bother you, but then wrath is like, and then Bernadine's in trouble. Because you kind of boil over. It's really, you know, things like this and wrath to me kind of is linked in with self-control or lack of self-control. And we need to get that kind of stuff out. Again, I've seen people with wrath. I mean, in church business meetings before. It's like, man, what side of the bed did you get up on? You need to get up on the other. I mean, really, we got to be careful. I mean, aren't we all capable of wrath? You know, just kind of like, you know, and just jumping into somebody because, you know, because we have that short fuse or something. Now, isn't that possible? And I'm not saying, you know, I'm not pointing fingers, hey, well, this one does that. I mean, I'm telling you, we're all capable of that. That's something that we emphasize to the boys. You know, they played basketball. It was very successful playing basketball for Belpre Christian Academy, and especially playing basketball. And they played, you know, flag football. They play baseball. And in all of these different areas, it's kind of like, guys, guess what? You got to keep your emotions under control. I mean, you got, and praise the Lord, as far as I know, I mean, this is just thank the Lord, okay? As far as I know, they never talk back to a ref or an umpire or anything or to another player, at least that I know of, right, Jason? I'm joking. But I'm saying spiritually we should be the same way. We got to get our emotions under control. We can't just react. It's not very becoming, and that's part of the old man, not the new man. The new man is supposed to just, okay. anger, wrath, malice. What are some of these sins we're supposed to put off? Malice. Now, it's used 11 times in the New Testament. Strong says it's a badness in quality. A badness in quality. Have you ever got like a fruit of some sort and it looks really good on the outside and you cut into it and it's, you know, that would, you'd say that cantaloupe has badness in quality, right? So we need to be careful to make sure that we do not have badness in our quality. Or it's the opposite of excellence. The opposite of excellence. You know, when someone encounters a Christian, someone who's born again, someone who's put off the old man because Christ lives inside of them, there ought to be a sense of excellence that they sense about us. Not perfection, don't misunderstand me. But there ought to be, now sometimes people are very obvious about that. You encounter some people and you're like, man, there's somebody that's a Christian. And really, that should be in a sense to all of us. Now, I know some are more boisterous personalities and some are more shy, and it'd be hard to hear that in a shy person more than a boisterous person. But you know what? There ought to be excellence, not evil. You know, some people, it's funny to me, two different people can view the same situation, and this one over here will say, well, that wasn't too bad, was it? You know, we'll just have to learn from that and do, you know, better next time. And this one over here, that was horrible, that was terrible, I'm having a horrible day, how about you? I mean, really? And to me, that's evil and wickedness, looking at things instead of looking at it from the positive perspective. What do you think? Christians ought to be positive. You've heard me at some point preach, you know, are you an Eeyore Christian or are you a Tigger Christian? You know, if you ever watched Winnie the Pooh, I'd much rather be a Tigger Christian than an Eeyore, wouldn't you? So these are the things part of the old man. We're supposed to throw the anger away, that inner boiling up or that inside grudge and bitterness, that wrath, those outbursts of rage, that we got to put those away, the malice or just the evil thoughts we might have or the wickedness that's there. We're in a wicked world. So we just kind of got to stay away, right? Wickedness, not people. Wickedness. And then the fourth one is blasphemy. Now this one I'm sure won't apply to anybody. 19 times in the New Testament. You know what this really is talking about? Vilifying someone. Vilifying someone. In other words, slander or speaking against someone. You know, there's a whole bunch in a typical church going on of speaking against someone. You know, psst, did you see what so-and-so wore to church last week? Psst, man, that song didn't sound very good, did it? Did you hear Pastor Steve singing that song? He missed at least six notes in that song. Now, Jason, he hit the notes pretty good, but I mean, if we're not careful, I mean, God's not happy with that. I mean, you know, I've heard it said, now, I'm not there. I'm telling you, I'm not there. But if you don't have something good to say about somebody, don't say anything at all. That's a pretty good statement, don't you think? But that blasphemy, yes, it can be against God, but we're talking about Christians here. We're talking to a church. I think it's more talking about other people in a way we shouldn't, saying things we shouldn't say. Slander just simply means to speak against someone, and we got to be careful about that. I mean, this whole thing, the mouth, you know, the Bible has a lot to say about this whole tongue. Man, it's tough to control, isn't it? Next one's filthy communication. That's only used one time in the New Testament, that word, that Greek word, vile communication. My thoughts on that, it's anything that we shouldn't say with our mouth. Anything that we shouldn't say with our mouth. You know, our society has gotten so loose. You know, words that used to be cuss words are almost considered non-cuss words anymore. You know, and there's no room for that in the life of a Christian. There's no room for those even what used to be cuss words and no longer. Our guide is not society. Our guide is the Word of God, and it says we're supposed to put off filthy or evil or wicked communication, vile communication, anything we say with our mouth. I mean, we've even discovered around Christians, some Christian friends, that they use words we don't use. You know, it's like, no, that's kind of crude. You know, we don't use that word. No, and that kind of communication and dirty jokes. I mean, some people think, well, I'm not at church. I can go to work. I can tell a dirty joke. Whether that's present or whether that's past or what that is, I don't care when it was not acceptable. We do not tell dirty jokes. We do not use our mouth in bad ways, evil ways. It's not the way. Wouldn't it be a whole lot better to use this mouth to say, hey, won't you come to our vacation Bible school? Right here, how about, let me remind you about God's love for you. Wouldn't that be a whole lot better than using this old mouth for filthy communication? Some, you know, I really believe this. People that use a lot of vile language, they're showing their lack of intelligence. Now, I'm not being mean by that, but, you know, I don't know what to say, so I'm just going to blankety, blankety, blank, 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 blank. You know, it's like, why don't you use some really good adjectives instead of using cuss words all the time? We just got to be careful about that. That's part of the old man. We're supposed to put that off. The last one is lie not. Lie not. That means to utter an untruth or attempt to deceive by falsehood. My thoughts, any type of lying. You know, we should be the most honest people in the world because we know Jesus. You know what, Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Did you catch that middle one? I am the way, the truth. If he is the truth and the truth lives in me in the form of the Holy Spirit, my words ought to be truthful. Now, again, sometimes some of these could be like pet Christian sins. I'm telling you. I mean, we can say, no, that's not my life. Praise the Lord. I hope it's not. But let me tell you, some Christians are holding on to these things. You know, they lie, they cheat, they deceive in any way they can, and they really don't seem to care about it. You know, I have a really hard time when somebody lies to me. There was a coach. Let me give you for instance. There was a coach, Texas A&M baseball coach. And I'm not just picking on him. It happens all the time. they were runners-up to Tennessee for the World Series. In other words, they finished second in the national championship to Tennessee. We were rooting for Tennessee, by the way. We used to live in Tennessee. We were there for, we're not big Tennessee fans, but when it comes down to two teams, and one's Tennessee, we're like, yeah, come on, Tennessee. So Tennessee won. They had a press conference after the game, talking to this coach of Texas A&M. And there were rumors that he might go to Texas, a rival, a Texas, and they're going to be in the same conference starting this next season, okay? And they said, you know, would you comment on the possibility of you going to Texas or something? I'm just paraphrasing. And man, he's like, what did he say? What was the word he used? Selfish. That is such a selfish question. You know, we have committed ourselves to Texas A&M. And as far as I'm concerned, we packed and moved here, and we're not going to pack and go anywhere else. You know what happened the next day? He left to Texas. He's gone to Texas. The next day. I mean, I can understand him not spilling all the beans, maybe, and just saying, well, I'm considering it, or you know, we'll see. But for him to dogmatically look at the camera or look at these people, these press people, and say, basically, no, I'm not leaving. And then the next day, I'm gone. That's the society we live in. Political people can lie through their teeth. And the problem is sometimes it's hard to tell when they're lying or not because you got so many different sides. And even if you Google it, you can't figure out who's lying and who's not sometimes, right? But that ought not be. It's a whole lot easier to tell the truth than it is to lie. Because if you lie, then you got to remember what the lie was the next time. And you just got to keep on remembering. And my memory's not that good. So I'm glad that I can just tell the truth and not have to worry about it. You see, we're supposed to put away any type of lie. And some people say, well, I really didn't technically lie. You know, when they ask if could I speak to that person, they're not here right now. And really they are, but they was in the next room or they got up and walked. I mean, that's deceiving. See, that's still lying. You know, some of it, we call it white lies because that means it's not as bad as a black lie, I guess. But that's not for Christians. We are not to deceive people. I mean, if you're deceiving people, that's wrong. If you're lying to people, that's wrong. See, we're supposed to put off the old man. We should put off all these sins. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication. And it says, lie not to one another. Tonight, put off the old man. Put off the old man. Just like I demonstrated, almost model-like, right? You thought I was a model, a professional model for JCPenney or something, right? When I took off the jacket and took it off, that's what we're supposed to do with the old man. We're supposed to take these things off. And we should do it now. We should do it now. So we're going to pause in just a minute. I'm going to let you pray. Now is the time to put off the old man. If God says, you know what, some of those areas you need a little work on, or that's one of your pet sins, or, you know, all of us need work, okay? So I'm going to ask you to now, but not yet. But we should act now. We should put off or put away some stuff. This is like taking off that jacket, put it away, put it from us, like taking off a garment or a jacket. Specifically, it says we should put off anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy communication and lie not to one another. Do you have any idea how holding on to these sins and this old man that we used to be, this old man or old woman that we used to be, can you imagine how negatively that can affect your walk with the Lord? Can you think and conceptualize how that can affect your family when you have these sins in your life? Have you really thought about how it can affect your church if you're holding on to these sins? Now, don't tell anybody, shh, don't. But I'm holding on to this. I'm telling you, now is the time. Deal with it. Sometimes we just need to start a real simple prayer. Lord, forgive me for. And then fill in the blank and say, God, with your help, help me to overcome whatever sin the Lord may be telling you about. See, that's part of who we used to be, not who we are to be now. guess what? The Lord's coming back soon. And even if I'm wrong and he doesn't come back soon, you're going to die soon. And I'm going to stand before the Lord and give an account. And you're going to stand before the Lord and give an account. So I'd encourage you, would you bow your head and close your eyes? And I'll give you some time just to ponder. Think about that. Pray to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Bible, the clarity of your Bible. As we've looked at Colossians chapter 3 and the old man that we're supposed to put off and these sins that sometimes can become almost like Christian pet peeves or pet sins that we might have, Lord, I pray that you'll help us to put those aside. Take them off. Lord, if there's anyone here tonight or anyone listening in who's never trusted Jesus as their Savior, Lord, there's not anything I could more highly recommend than that they trust Jesus as their Savior tonight. And Lord, wherever they might be, from their heart, they can mean this from their heart, and they can call out to God in prayer and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins as the Son of God, paid for my sins and resurrected back to life. I want Jesus. I confess Jesus as my Savior. And Lord, they can do that wherever they are, from their heart right now, and truly mean it. And Lord, they can become a child of the Heavenly Father. Lord, we thank you for our time together tonight. Lord, we love you. Again, thank you for your word. In Jesus' name I pray.